This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We have rocky financial markets today after the British pound crashes for a time. I'm David Brancaccio. It is a volatile day so far for financial markets, currencies, bonds, stocks. The U.S. Central Bank raising interest rates last week is an accelerant in this volatile brew, but the match that set it alight is Britain's currency, the pound sterling, falling to its lowest level ever overnight. Britain's new conservative government is going on a borrowing spree to cut taxes there, which can lower interest rates in the UK, making investments based in pounds less attractive. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has more from London.
At its lowest ever level in early trading this morning, £1 bought $1.03. It's an exchange rate the world hasn't seen since 1792, when the greenback was first introduced. Sterling's plunge began on Friday after the newly appointed finance minister announced the biggest set of tax cuts in 50 years. Despite the severe market reaction, there's no sign the government will reverse course. Jane Foley, currency strategist at Rabobank, says now there are rising expectations the Bank of England could step in with emergency measures.
We saw an interest rate hike just last week, but now the market is speculating that in order to defend the pound, the Bank of England could announce a huge policy hike at the next meeting in November, or perhaps even come in with an inter-meeting hike, even today, or certainly perhaps in the next few days.
So while the government's plans were designed to help companies dealing with economic uncertainty, many say higher interest rates and a plunging currency value will make business more difficult. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
So the British pound is now 107 to the dollar now, as traders bet that Britain would do that extra emergency rate hike to calm things down. Here, S&P futures are down 0.6%. NASDAQ futures are minus 0.4%. The U.S. 10-year interest rate is up at 3.77%. It was below 3% just over a month ago. Now that pesky annoyance when you overpay a bill by mistake. This month, a court ruled in the case of a giant bank that says it accidentally sent extra money to people it owed and whether those creditors need to give the money back. A federal appeals court ordered the money sent back to Citigroup. The money is connected to the bankruptcy of the cosmetics company Revlon. Now, there's a teachable moment here about getting money back sent in error. My colleague Sabri Benishore spoke with Carla Sanchez Adams, a staff attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. Sabri?
First of all, how do you accidentally send $900 million to anyone?
Yeah, I mean, the story's crazy, but it just shows how easy it is to make mistakes. I mean, if a big bank like Citi makes mistakes and expects money to be returned to it, then they should apply the same rules to consumers who make mistakes.
Just to sort of break this down here, why did the court say that people had to send the money back to Citi? Why not finders keepers?
Yeah, so the Citi case is interesting. You know, there were three judges, and one of the judges said, you know, put simply, you don't get to keep money sent to you by mistake unless you're entitled to it anyway. But it's interesting because here the case is that it wasn't Citi trying to get the money back from the bank of the investors. Citi was trying to get money back from the investors. And it's actually more analogous to when a consumer is defrauded and or consumer accidentally sends payment to someone. And instead of trying to get it back from their bank, they then try to get it from the person who received the money.
What's interesting here is that I recall seeing warnings, you know, anytime I send a PayPal or Venmo or Zelle, it says, you know, if you send this to the wrong person, you're not getting it back. So I just wonder if the rules are somehow different for a big bank versus for an individual.
That question is a little complicated because banks don't generally send other banks money using Zelle. In this case, they were using a wire transfer. The law that applies to wire transfer is different than the law that applies in this case to something like Zelle, that you get that notification of if you send it, you're not getting it back, because the whole premise of faster payments is that they're irrevocable. There are still protections under the law, under the Electronic Funds Transfer Act, that if the transaction was unauthorized or if there was an error, then the bank has to do an investigation and they have to credit your account. And so there are protections. It's just a different mechanism and a different scheme.
So different systems of sending money, different systems of law that apply, different protections that are there.
That is correct. But the underlying principle I think that you're getting at and that you see and we all have a visceral reaction to is, but if someone's not entitled to that, then they should not get to keep it, right? So if it was a mistake or if it was, you know, fraud or something, they're not entitled to keep that money. And there should be a way for the person who made the mistake to get the money back.
Yeah. So for you and I, what is that way?
There is a provision under that Electronic Funds Transfer Act about errors and how errors are defined. And so this is an error. It was a mistake. So the bank should comply with the provision and do an investigation if the consumer disputes it. And then, you know, they can't reverse the transaction, but they can request that money back from the receiving bank. But they just don't. They don't do it. They don't think they should. And it's a real problem.
Carla Sanchez Adams is a staff attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And innovation and the power of the metaphor you choose. Researchers in Japan have come up with a very thin, flexible solar cell that can be built into little robot units that could someday get in there and check for survivors in rubble after an earthquake. They're small enough to get into hard-to-reach places and beam back data. Okay, so far, until you hear the description that is catching on. The cyborg cockroach. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Here from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.